Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Joe. Well, let me tell you about old Joe. My daughter got married Saturday. That was awesome. Joe can dance. Let me just tell you, Joe's a good dancer. All right. Thank you guys for coming tonight. You guys heard me? My daughter got married, her and her fiance, high school sweethearts. Yeah, you don't hear that too much anymore. But, you know, let me encourage you, parents. I really want to encourage you. I have three kids, two boys and my younger daughter. And don't ever stop praying for your kids. But here's the difference. It's better to not always tell them the love of God. Show them the love of God. Show them Christ in the home. Show them Christ just whenever you can. Be that example. I speak that to you guys. I've seen God bless my daughter. And you know what? Yes, praying parent, still praying parent. Never stop praying for your kids. Even when you see them going in a wrong direction, don't stop praying. Be that praying parent. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's just pray. Father God, I thank you, God. I thank you for everybody being here today, night before Thanksgiving. I know so many people are, when they leave here, they're going to start preparing for Thanksgiving for tomorrow, God. So I just pray you bless this message in Jesus' name. Real quick, Christianity 101 for tomorrow. Don't run your family off if they're not born again and saved. Go have a good time. Show them the love of God. You don't have to preach to them. And just show them Jesus. Show them hope. Show them love. Show them joy. Don't run them off and say, I don't want nothing to do with Christianity. Can we do that tomorrow? Now, if God puts something in your heart, do it. But I've done it. I've ran most of my family off when I first got saved. It's when we first get saved. We want to just go in there with a pulpit like this for Thanksgiving and just preach the gospel. And that's what we're called to do. But just be the light tomorrow. Show Jesus Christ to somebody. And I promise you, you'll be surprised. They'll leave that Thanksgiving going, man, there was something different about that young man and that lady. Amen. I might have shared this story, but I want to share this because I know November and December, even as believers, I've talked to many broken people, but for so many reasons, loved ones out of town that they can't spend, you know, Thanksgiving with, that always hurts, you know, or they've lost a loved one. And every time a holiday comes up, that is already in their mind, missing that person. And that's probably going to happen a lot. But wherever you're at right now, in the state of mind, if I'm talking to believers, if you're down and out or whatever it is, you can still bring hope to somebody. And there was a story I might have shared this before, but this is a story that encourages me because it's a true story. It's about a pastor named Matthew Barnett, Los Angeles Dream Center in LA. He had a counseling appointment with this lady. And when the only thing he knew about the lady, she was a baker and she knew how to make really good cookies. So the only notes that he had on this lady is she's a baker and she knows how to make cookies really good. She comes in and they're having their counseling appointment and he hears, she came in to tell him how depressed she's been, how her anxiety is skyrocketing and she's just been worrying a lot. And he said he felt God put something in his heart to give her a prescription. And he wrote down on a piece of paper, here's your prescription. For 3 weeks, this is what I want you to do. And she read it and it said, bake cookies for the women's home. So what she did is she ripped up that paper and threw it and took off out of it. Didn't say nothing to him. He goes, well, I'll see you in 3 weeks. Three weeks went by, nothing. She never came. 4 weeks went by, nothing. She never came. And then one day he was doing a tour with some other pastors and he was in the women's home showing them. And all of a sudden he sees the lady. He goes, hey, where you been? I haven't seen you in a month. You never came to your appointment. She goes, well, I've been busy. What do you mean you've been busy? I've been baking cookies, not only for the women's home, but for the men's home too. And he goes, well, can I ask you a personal question? How's your depression and how's your anxiety? She goes, I forgot all about it. I ain't got time to think about it. You know what? I say that to say this. That's what God's called us to do. If you're, and I'm not saying go bake cookies, but I'm saying when you're down and out this next couple months, say, okay, God, maybe I got some depression. Maybe I'm not feeling where up to par, but God, who can I give something to? Who could I call and give hope to? Who could I call and just encourage, God? Who can let me be the giver? And what that prescription was biblical. He was teaching her to go give. And I promise you, you go out and you bless somebody. If it's just giving them an encouraging word, you're going to be surprised what God will do in your life, because that's what God's called us to do. That's when we're connected to divine Jesus Christ. Amen? Just thought I'd share that with somebody. I encourage you. These next 2 months can be hard, but they can be joyful too, and a lot of people can be born again. I told this guy before I got up here, our job today and throughout these next couple months is to keep hell empty on our clock. Amen? And we can do it with the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, let's get to some Bible verses. We're going to be in 1 John verses. Here's our first verse. If you guys notice, if you guys notice and you've been coming faithfully on Wednesday nights or you've been watching online, you're going to notice something with John. We're already in chapter 3, but if some of you remember chapter 1 and chapter 2, there's two things he talks about. And he repeats himself over and over. Being deceived and sin. It's like he repeats that. 1 John chapter 1, don't be deceived. Sin can destroy you. 2 chapter 2, don't be deceived. Sin will destroy you. So it's like, you know when we use that saying, you sound like a broken record? You know why he sounds like? Because he knows what can destroy our walk with God. He knows. We can get deceived so easily if you're not being deceived right now. And let me tell you, if you don't know this, some of you could be getting deceived right now. Because I'm going to be honest, because the Bible teaches there's so many false gospels out there. Today, and very respectful. See, I'm respectful to Jehovah's Witnesses or people that come to my home. I try my best to be the light. And what do you know? I pull up and I see the Jehovah's Witnesses. One time in my walk with God, I'll probably believe everything they say. You know why? Because I wasn't a Bible reader. I didn't know the truth. It wasn't in me. And you know what I did? Was two very nice ladies. I get out. I said, hi, guys. How you doing? And they go, we're doing good. Do you know Jehovah God? I go, Jehovah Jireh. They don't like it. Jehovah Jireh. Oh, praise God. And then, so she started ministering to me. And I'm very respectful. Just listening, hearing her heart. And she goes, do you believe that we could be happy on this earth? I go, oh, absolutely. Why couldn't we? I go, you know when I got my joy? So I cut in before they cut me off. So I go, you know when I found my joy of the Lord? She goes, when? 17 years ago, Mary Kay Shell Mental Hospital, in the parking lot, gonna commit suicide. I said, God, if you're real, come into my life right now. That's the day I found Jesus. And she was like, oh. Then she goes, can I share a Bible verse with you? I go, no, that's fine, but thank you guys. Have a blessed holiday. You know what I'm saying? Still encourage them. But you know what? Think about this. I don't know this. I don't ever read this. Guess what? I probably could have got deceived in something. Because I remember when I first got saved, everybody knocked on my door. I believed everything they said. I'm serious. And you know what it made me? It made me confused. I became confused because I wasn't a Bible reader. Well, I don't got time. You got the same 24 hours in a day and everybody else here to read the Bible. You got those devotion cards that we consistently push to you guys. There's a reason why. So you don't get deceived. You understand and you know the promises of God in your life. Amen? So let's look at the first Bible verse. Well, we see John. He loves us so much, he always calls us little children. Make sure no one what? This won't stay right there. Deceives you. In chapter 2, the last time I was up here, he said, they're coming to deceive you. Then he goes, make sure no one deceives. And you know what? No one. No one deceive you. No one lie to you. Look at the definition of deceive. Let's put that up there. Deceive, to cause someone to believe something that is not true. There it is. To tell you something what this Bible does not say. That's being deceived. We could put on social media right now and get deceived of everything. How to lose weight, how to make money, everything. Do you notice that right now? We can get on social media and go, oh my God, there's like 1,000 ways to gain weight or lose weight, 1,000 ways to become a millionaire tomorrow, right? We're getting this, most of them, here you want to get wealthy, just work hard every single day. You want to lose some weight, it's a calorie deficit and be active every single day. That wasn't that hard, was it? See, you ain't being deceived. That's the truth. Hard work pays off. Amen? Being consistent every day pays off. Being consistent in the Word of God pays off. So let's get back to that verse. Make sure no one be deceived. And remember, he must have said that word deceived 5 or 6. I'm sure there was people in that congregation or however John was speaking to them, but like, is he really saying this again? Absolutely. Because look at this. The biggest deceiver is who? Is Satan. Do you know God has an amazing plan for your life? But you know who has a plan for your life too? The devil. He wants to deceive you. He wants to lie to you. Last time we were up here, we were talking about being deceived, how Eve was deceived by Satan in the wilderness, by what he said to her. But then we seen the flip side of Jesus in a wilderness trying to get deceived. But guess what he knew? He knew this. The devil would promise him all this stuff, and it sounded good. And the average person would have took everything the devil was offering. But Jesus says no. And think about it, he was 40 days no food. Hungry. You know, when you're hungry, you can make some poor decisions, right? That can't happen. We eat more. And so we've seen a difference from Eve getting deceived by Satan when God specifically told her, don't touch this one, but you can touch everything else. And here comes Satan, a little snake, and deceived her. But then we see in the wilderness that Jesus, he wasn't just fat, he was seeking after the Father. And when Satan tried to deceive him, he conquered Satan. I'm going to call up a few guys. I'm going to call up Shane, Ron, and Diego. Don't you guys? I'm going to use these men as an illustration. Give them a hand clap because they're probably nervous. Now come on up here, guys. My goal is that you leave here more on fire for Jesus. That's what my goal is. Come on up here, guys. They'll stand right here. Ron, right here. One of you are going to be the center. I'm sorry. Diego and Shane. You guys just stand right there. We're going to put up a picture, and I'm going to read a verse. Let's put up this picture back there, please. Okay, keep that there, I got the verse here so I can read it. 1 Peter 5:8, listen to this. Be of a sober spirit, be on the alert, your adversary, listen to this, the devil, your enemy, the adversary, the one that wants to destroy your life, the one that wants you to leave here hopeless, the one that wants you to leave here that God can't heal you, the one that wants you to leave here that God can't heal your marriage, the one that wants you to leave here, your kids will never be set free. That's the devil. That's the deceiver, wants to destroy some of your life right now. And listen to this. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So here's my picture. I want you to think of these lions as the devil, because that's what he's using, that illustration. You guys ever seen it in the live video shot? You know what they're doing? See all those animals? They're looking for the weakest link. They're looking to the one that's distracted. They're looking for the slowest one. They're looking for the one that's not listening to the leader, because you notice in that National Geographic video, there's always the leader leading the pack. And then all of a sudden, there's that one animal, he's lost. And guess what happens? The devil, he jumps out and he devours them. This is how he's going to devour you. He's a roaring lion. Boy, he's looking. He's right now in the spirit realm. He's looking. He's looking. Who can I do? Oh, let me see here. Shane. Oh, man. Can't devour this guy. Consistently reading his Bible. Consistently on his knees praying. Can't devour that guy. He's a roaring lion looking for the weak. Oh, man, Diego. Oh, let me see. God, he's been fasting. He's been giving. He's been seeking God. Can't devour him. Oh, man. Sorry, Ronnie. Let me see here. Oh. He's been coming to church. Don't know one scripture. Oh, okay. Never gives. Oh. Don't know nothing about me. He just shows up and leaves, and that's all he wants. You know what? I can devour him. I can destroy him. I can make him leave her more hopeless than he came in. That's what the devil wants to do. Give these guys a hand clap. Thank you, guys, for getting devoured. One of you. Thank you. Love you, guys. That's what. I'm going to read that scripture one more time, and I pray in the name of Jesus that it speaks to you. I pray that you leave here and you understand that you have an enemy that does not like you, does not care about you. Anything of your life. I'm going to read it again. 1 Peter 5:8. Listen to this. Be of a sober spirit. Be on the alert. Pay attention, he's saying. Be on alert. Understand you do have an enemy. Absolutely, Jesus gives us all the strength to fight that enemy. But he still says, be alert. Who are you surrounding your life around? If you're the smart, you heard me say this hundreds, if you're the smartest one in your group, go to a different one and learn something new. I'm being honest with you. If you're the strongest one in your faith in your group, and it's okay to go some of those elders and get around some other men of God and women of God that pray and seek God. He's saying, be alert. I don't know if some of you noticed, the Bible says if we need wisdom, we can ask for it. God, give me wisdom. Help me to be focused, God, of my surroundings, Lord. So he goes on to say, be alert. Your adversary, the enemy that wants to destroy your life, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's the gospel too. We have to know our enemy. We have to know who we are fighting. We have to know everything. Some of you military men, I know this because of reading it, they study their enemy. They don't just get the Navy SEALs and just drop them off and say, you're on your own. No. They study the enemy that wants to devour them. They study the enemy that wants to destroy them. So when they do get dropped off, they have a confidence in them. They know that they know they can devour their enemy. Amen? Because God gives you guys that strength. Let's look at this. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time, just listen to this. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their, hold up, own desires. Please in the back, stay right there. Their own desires. Justify everything. That's what it's saying. You know, that's right. It seems good. No. And he goes on to say, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Stay right there. He's talking about them being deceived. He's saying that some of these believers are getting to a place that they're allowing that stuff to be spoken back into their life. So he says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Next verse, please. They will turn their ears away from the what? Truth. And turn aside to myths. That's being deceived. If you don't... God, please help us, Lord. If you don't know this, start getting to know it today. This is the weapon, the word of God, that's going to help your life walk with Jesus strongly, regardless how you came in and you feel. This is the sword. He's talking about people that justify everything. You ever been around everything? What feels okay? No. You know the Bible says do not be unequally yoked with unbelief. Do you know the Bible says that? Don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. He's saying, don't be yoked to him. I wish I had a picture of it being yoked. This is what yoked means. It was a big old wood thing that they put around two cows. And they would yoke them together to work the plow. Hear me out now. If one of those cows were just an inch too short or an inch too tall, they couldn't yoke together. Because you know what's going to happen? One's going to go one way, one's going to go the other. So he says, you can't be yoked with an unbeliever. That can't just be your whole life hanging out all the time, dating all the time. I'm sorry, that's the Bible. I didn't write it. He says you cannot be yoked with an unbeliever. Doesn't mean we don't love unbelievers. Doesn't mean we ain't going to preach the gospel to unbelievers. Absolutely, because we were unbelievers. Thank God somebody told us about Jesus. He says you need to be yoked. And what the Bible says, Jesus' yoke, be yoked to him. When you're yoked, that picture of that yoke, when you're yoked to him, then there's life. Then there's hope. Then there's direction. But I'm telling some of you right now, God, I pray you speak to us. If some of you are yoked, it's not just saying you're dating. It could be people you just spend your whole life around all day. And you hear nothing but negative Nancy. Is that what they say? Right? You don't hear nothing. But you know what, God? You got to wake up and say, you know what, God? Don't let no one deceive me today, God. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, don't let me have itchy ears. Don't let me just like what the world likes. God, help me to be grounded in you. We got to cry out to God sometimes for that and say, God, help me to be yoked to you, God. And I promise you, your path and your direction, and regardless what you're going through, God will do great things through your life. Amen. Ephesians 4:24. We're still on deceived. I love this. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Let's stay right there. That's what's going to keep us connected to God. Not being deceived. He said, put on the new self. It's funny. So I put this sweater on, right? Some of you can read it, Mount Whitney Summit. Praise the Lord. But it reminded me of something. It reminded me when I looked in the mirror and I looked at it, I go, oh my God, I summited Mount Whitney. When you put on Christ, it's a reminder of his hope, his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, his healing power. It's when you put on the new self, it's the reminder of him going to the cross for you. It's a reminder of his righteousness. It's a reminder of his holiness. That's why when I put this on, every time I looked in the mirror, it reminded me of something I did. It reminded me of something I achieved. This needs to remind you of something you came to and changed your life. Amen. The devil ain't playing. He wants to destroy you. But let me tell you right now, John 10:10. I love this verse. We know now. The thief comes to what? Only to steal and kill and destroy your life. But listen to what Jesus says. I came that they may have life and life it abundantly. Amen? There might be some bad news, but let me tell you, there's some good news. Give God some praise on that. Amen? But if we don't tell you the bad news, how are you going to preach and get connected to the good news? It would be horrible if I was your lawyer and I didn't tell you the bad news of what could happen. And then it did happen. All I'm telling you is the good news. Oh, you're going to be set free. The next thing you know, you're not. So with good news, there's bad news. But that bad news can turn into good news when we abide, 2 John 2, in Jesus. You guys chose to give your life to Jesus. Am I right? And in so many ways, mine was at Mary Kay Shelton Mental Hospital. I've talked to some of you, it was drugs, and some of you was just divorce, or whatever it is. So when we chose to give our life to Jesus, there does come a responsibility on our part to seek after a holy God, to seek after a righteous God, to apply biblical principles to our life so we can be the light of a dying world. Now, we're going to go to the next verse. Back to that 1 John 3:7, please. 1 John 3:7. All right. Do we understand about being deceived? All right. Amen. Two people. Praise the Lord. Listen, the one who practices righteousness is righteous. And we're going to stay right there. The one who practices. Let's put up the definition of practice. Put that up. Practice. Doing an activity or training regularly for something so that you can improve your skill or gift. Put up the verse, please. I love that verse. Put up the Bible verse, please. Thank you. The one who practices righteousness. You ever just practice something and became good at it? You know, that's usually what comes when you discipline yourself and you practice something and you have a goal and you have a vision and you have a purpose and you're consistently, it doesn't even matter if you're good at it, but you keep at it and you keep at it and you keep at it and you keep at it. Next thing you know, you're hearing God when you never could hear God. You're practicing. You know what? I'm gonna practice every day. I'm gonna read a Bible. Okay, God, I can't read 10 yet, but I'll read one. Be consistent to that every day. God, I'm going to practice righteousness. Lord, you know what, God? I don't like people, but I'm going to be a giver. Start doing something for the kingdom of God. And I promise you, you'll see God do great things. I put this right here. Why do most of us practice something? Most of us practice what we love. We reveal our hearts by what we practice. You need to question yourself. If you have zero desire, since the day you got saved and born again to read this Bible, I can't get on my knee all the way. I got a cortisone shot yesterday in my knee. To get on your knees and say, God, I'm a mess, Lord, and I need you. My marriage is a mess and I need you. I feel like I'm being deceived by everybody, God. But I believe and I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to practice everything you've given me, Lord. I'm going to trust in you, everything you've given me, God. Look at Matthew 7:24-27. A lot of you guys are familiar with this verse. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into what? Is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. We've preached this verse many times, but he says the one who practices righteousness, who practices doing right daily. The Bible, we said that last time, and the Bible says, if you know that it's wrong, it's sin in your life. I don't know what it could be. It could be anything. It could all be different. But when you know that you know that it's wrong, that could be that one thing that's taking you from God. And he goes on to say, put into practice. And he goes, the rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Stay right there. He said that man was like a wise man, the one that practices righteousness, knowing that it's not our strength, it's his. It's all his strength that can get us to this place. We're like, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Is that not what the Bible says? But we serve a God that's righteous. We serve a God that's holy. We serve a Jesus that went to a cross sinless for our sins. And he goes on to say the rains come and the storms come and everything was blowing. But that man that practices righteousness, that man that applied biblical principles to his life, when hell broke, I don't know what that storm could have been. It could have been cancer. It could have been finances. It could have been death in a family member. It could have been depression. But he still stood his foundation on the rock. Amen? When we practice the things of God. Amen. So we got to wake up sometimes. Go back to 1 John 3:7, please. 1 John 3:7. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, Jesus, right, is righteous. Next Bible verse, please. Next verse. 1 John 3:9. No one who is born of God practices sin. We got to go back a few in the back. Go back a few verses. 3:7. Go back, right there. The one who practices sin is what? Of the what? I didn't write this, guys. But let me encourage you. You might came in here and say, man, Pastor Alden, I'm of the devil. That's all I do. Let me give you some hope here. All of us miss the mark. But when we give our lives to Jesus, he's gonna give us every tool that just don't become our life daily. Amen? That we're not consistently practicing that lifestyle and not even being convicted no more. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about tomorrow you miss the mark and you're like, you understand God's forgiveness? You understand that he abides in us and sometimes we miss the mark? No. He's talking about the person that consistently, nonstop, know that they're doing, they don't even care no more. And that's their lifestyle. They're practicing it. They're consistently practicing it. You know, if you ever go to the doctor, like me, I went to a doctor yesterday, got a shot in my knee. And so I gave that doctor, when you go to a doctor, you're actually pretty much giving them permission to get into your face, if you must say. And some of them might say, hey, man, you gotta practice better health things. You gotta practice something different in your life. Are you not gonna live long? Or you gotta slow down in this area? Or if any of you have ever hired a trainer, or somebody that you're under that's put you under a training program that you got to practice daily. Shane, Cozy, practice you to death sometimes, but you get good results out of it if you be consistent in it. You guys made a decision to come into Valley Bible Fellowship to allow us to get the gospel in all of our faces so we can practice this stuff. Amen? So sometimes that's why you notice that John would push. Practice right. You got to practice this stuff. You got to apply God's word to your life so you can see change. Let's get back to the Bible verse. But he says right here, he who practices sin is of the devil. And let me tell you, you keep practicing some of these lifestyles, I promise you right now, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. I hope I'm speaking to somebody right now. It's going to be emptiness and darkness without Jesus. I'm telling you that right now. There's nothing going to fulfill you more than Jesus. You can give that one thing up for the 1,000 things Jesus wants to give you. Because he came to give you life and life abundantly. Sin came to keep you in bondage. There's a difference. There's a big difference. So that's why he's consistently telling you, he who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose. To destroy the works of the what? The devil. Next verse, please. No one who was born of God practices sin. He didn't say misses the mark. No. You got to catch this. That's your lifestyle. You walked in here and you walk right back out and you don't care. Everything I said, what Pastor Al said, I have no idea. I was just there. And go back to your old lifestyle and don't have no conviction. Conviction's not a bad thing. Conviction's a thing that, because God loves us and he wants us to be connected to him. He wants to give us the peace that surpasses all understanding. He wants to give us the hope that only he can give. He wants to give us life and life abundantly, but sometimes it's us, it's not him. So he goes on to say, no one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of what? God. He's born of God. I love this chapter, this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:21, one of my favorite Bible verses. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Give God some praise for that verse. Sometimes we got to understand, he made him who knew no sin, knew nothing. Jesus even told the Father, take this cup, I don't want to die for it. They don't even like me. And he still died for you. Think about this. Think of all your sins. He bared every single thing that you've ever done that was against God on the cross because he loves you. If that's not enough, God help us. If that's not enough to leave here and say, God, first of all, I'm going to repent because I'm going to abide in you, God. I didn't just come here to hear, just to have fun. I came here to get close to you, Jesus. I came here to get healed at that altar, Jesus. I came here, if there's a prayer team, lay hands on me. Because God, I want to practice you. I want everything you can offer. And God can do that today if you want him to. You can leave here with hope. Like I tell everybody, I don't want to preach a false doctrine saying, no, God's going to come up here and heal you from depression. But you know what? He might speak to you, what you can do about that depression. God might not heal your marriage, but he might give you some tools to work on your marriage. He might not heal your health problem because it's all self-inflicted, but he might give you some wisdom about that. But it's up to you. Where do you want to be with Jesus? Are you willing to practice everything that God has given us? He's not looking for a perfect person. He's looking for a person that's available for the kingdom of God. Because as we're in here, there's people out there that do not know Jesus. People driving by right now wondering what's going on in here, or that are hopeless and want to take their life because they don't know Jesus. So when you learn to say, you know what, God, I give my life fully to you, he will do great things. We're going to go to the last verse, 1 John chapter 10. Listen to this. By this, children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. There it is. He makes it clear. I'm glad I didn't have to write this. They did. Because he makes it, I don't know how clear it is. Those that do not practice righteousness is not of God. And he's not saying that you need to be righteous. He goes, practice it. Be good at giving. Enjoy giving. Try to do it. If some of you have never given to somebody, go out there and give to somebody. Go out there and be a blessing to somebody. But dude, say, God, let's put that altar call music if you want to call it that. I want to get you guys focused on Jesus. So Pastor Al, what's your message to me? Practice Jesus. He's the only answer for your life. There's nothing else but him. I told somebody before, they go, so Pastor Al, did God supernaturally heal you of depression? Absolutely not. But guess what? I went from hopeless to hope. That's what happened. 3 more years, but I had hope that maybe one day God will speak to me. And maybe one day I have a mind of peace. You might leave here in the most biggest mess. Let me encourage you. Don't let the devil lie to you and say, just leave. Sit right there. You can sit right there with yourself for a while and just pray, or you can come up to the altar, however you like to do it. Don't leave here without knowing that you got the right tools for Jesus to do something great in your life, because you are great. Amen? You got purpose. Amen? God wants to heal you. Amen? God wants to do something great in your life. Amen? God wants you to leave here on Thanksgiving Day tomorrow and be thankful that you were in the house of God and God did something great in your life. Give God some praise. Amen. Everybody on their feet. Amen. Prayer team, come on up here. Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We are thankful, God, that you sent your son Jesus to the cross for us. God, we are thankful for the Bible verses that you say that you give us peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus, we're thankful for your kingdom, God. We're thankful, God, that you went to the cross when none of us, some of us didn't even care about you, but you still died for us, God. We're thankful that you give us the tools of prayer. We're thankful that you give us your whole word. We're thankful, God, that you give us the gift of the Holy Spirit, God. And I'm thankful right now that I believe somebody's going to get saved and born again right now, wherever you're at. If you've never given your life completely to Jesus Christ, right where you're at, raise your hand, because we're going to pray for you. Raise your hand, just right wherever you're at. We got a package for you. We got a couple back there. We got a few back, and we're going to pray for you. And you're going to have the best Thanksgiving you ever had. And any of you that say, you know what, Pastor, I want to rededicate my life back to God, because I feel like I've been practicing that devil stuff, and I want to start practicing that God stuff, because I want to be connected to the vine. You raise your hand right where you're at. Come on, pray. Don't be ashamed. Don't let the devil lie to you. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus, those that raised their hand, I want everybody in this place to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you, Lord, to receive your Son, Jesus, to be my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and ask you to forgive me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to walk in righteousness with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God some praise. All right, let's close it. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name, bless everybody here today. Let us leave here with your full joy, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Give them one more clap of praise. Love you guys. You guys are awesome. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King, give us our